Aussie music is something to be proud of.
Wear it like a badge.
Because it's Australian bands and artists that are the influences of so many other musicians the world over. So at Triple M,
we're proud to be able to showcase the power of the Aussie music scene.
Paying both homage to the greats that have stood the test of time, right alongside the current, the emerging, the future influences.
The ones that will be next to make their mark on the global music scene.
If it's Aussie and it rocks, it's right here. This is Triple M's Homegrown with Matty O.
Yes, right around the country on the Triple M network. That is 49 stations and on the listener app. We welcome to the show an incredibly talented singer-songwriter that's actually been performing for us for a very long time. Super catchy, whether it's with the Tin Lids or singing with a voice you might know. On the backing vocals, music is in her DNA. And I mean, Ellie Mae Barnes, you know, you love it when you heard this. She's performed all around the world, an incredible vocal talent, performing with her dad, Jimmy, and must-see cabaret nights in Sydney as well. We've got a debut solo album, No Good, and we're loving the title track. Super catchy songs, here to chat all about it. We welcome to the show the one and only Ellie Mae Barnes. How are you? Welcome to Homegrown.
Hey, thanks for having me.
What's it like listening to your own music back on record? Does it feel weird? Does it? Well, congratulations on having this out. It's cool, isn't it? I guess when you're writing like your first album, you've got your whole life to write it. And then when you're putting it together and now it's out, it must be a really cool feeling, right?
Yeah, I'm like, you know, so proud that it's finally out there, but, you know, nervous and, but I'm also, no, I'm actually mostly proud because I was so nervous for so long that, you know, it took me a while to have the confidence to just put it out there. And now I'm just ready to just bare my soul and just see who connects with it.
Yeah, awesome. And, do you remember when the first song you wrote for this album was? Like, how far back we're going?
Yeah, I would have been in my teens and just like, you know, trying to work out how to be comfortable writing and doing that meant surrounding myself with people who I was willing to kind of make myself vulnerable and feel okay embarrassing or feeling embarrassed around. Yeah. And that's people like Davey Lane.
Of course, from your
mate. Like family.
Yeah. Eddie Rayner of the Split Ends, of course. Shane Nicholson. And you work with your uncle on this as well.
Yeah, you know, my uncle Mark, Diesel, Mark Lazotte.
And Alex Lloyd too?
No. Okay. Shane Nicholson worked with Alex Lloyd, but cool, Neil Finn wrote me a song. Don Walker, you know, but these people, they're all big names to everybody else. But to me, they're the people that I grew up around and who made me feel safe and loved. So
I think what's really cool, like obviously you're in the bubble, but like watching like and growing up with the Barnes family, like obviously watching you guys all perform over the years and watching your dad and, you know, your siblings go and have these amazing careers, you have this image in your mind that it's such like a musical family. And I think we really got a taste of that a lot during lockdown as well. I just want to play a snippet of a song that you all sang on from Music for the Homefront. Incredible watching you all sing and perform. That was with Ian Moss as well. I think it was cool like during lockdown when we got all those videos from, you know, you and your family, getting to see you all perform as a family is really special.
Yeah, I mean, it's always been one of my favorite things, being able to sing and harmonize with my family and the people that I love.
Yeah,
you know, and it always will be, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
It's pretty magical and there's sort of nothing like that feeling.
It seems like so effortless. Do you guys do like a lot of rehearsals? Or I feel like you guys just pick up an instrument and it's just there.
No, I don't. I don't think there was any rehearsal involved.
What about for the tracking of the album? Like, were family members kind of in and out? Like, was Jimmy popping in? Was it?
I think there was the maybe the odd vocal session, but I really, really kept this very much my thing.
Yeah.
I didn't really want too much family involvement. That I definitely, after things were done, asked what Dad thought of things, but I tried not to take everyone's opinions on too much because I really wanted this to be how it was in my head.
Yeah, cool.
Because I knew what I wanted it to be, and I didn't want anyone's opinions to change that, even if I respected them intensely, even if it was the person that I cared about the most, which is like my dada. Because I knew from the start what this had to be, because it's my record.
Absolutely.
And everyone's always going to say that he was involved anyway. And of course he's involved because he's influenced everything I do from when I was born, because he's my hero. But beyond that, no.
How's the kind of creative songwriting process work for you? Is it like on a guitar, on a keyboard, or maybe like a...
No. Well, I have cerebral palsy, so I have limitations there, and I am a terrible guitarist.
Yeah.
Join
the club.
That.
Join the club.
I can play my one Bob Dylan song that I've been working on since I was 12, and that is very private. And no one needs to hear that. It's, personal. Yeah. I do have to co-write for that reason, but I will sometimes even hum things to people, or like ooh different chords and build that up or whatever. Yeah. But I do work that out in my own way, but I often write a lot of lyrics on my phone, and that can be when I'm out or write notes in a little diary or whatever. Yeah. But I have sounds in my head. I just have to find a way to get them across.
I like that. And it must be cool, like because every musician's got their different interpretation on things. Like when you're writing with Davey, like kind of, you know, telling him how you hear it and then hearing how he hears it and putting it together must be really cool.
Yeah. And then trying to describe that maybe using references as well. It's really interesting and fun. You got to get creative.
Yeah. Like you said before, like we watched your ABC story and we were really moved by it, like your journey with cerebral palsy. And especially, you know, how much you had to go through physically, especially your operation where you essentially had to learn to walk again. It was just so, you know, I got quite emotional watching that. to be where you are now, it has been quite a journey. And I think it's really inspiring for other people with disabilities too, to see like how much you've accomplished and by putting out this album and performing as well.
Thanks. Well, I hope that it can, you know, if it helps just like even one person get through something like that, maybe then that's really important, because I wasn't initially that comfortable kind of sharing all that stuff. But I did feel, you know, when I was told to hide away that I didn't like hearing that, and the stubbornness in me came out where I was like, well, I am kind of, you know, naturally not wanting to come out here and talk about all this comfortably, but I will, because I don't like what you said to me for somebody else. I don't want the kid that I had to sit next to at the children's hospital to hear that and think they need to do that. So I found it was important now to talk about these things, and without joking and being, you know, and making it smaller.
Yeah.
And so I do hope that somebody sees that or hears these things, and it does help them get through or feel like they're important.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, well said. How's the response been since that aired?
I've heard from quite a few people, or even parents of kids going through stuff, and they say that it's helped them through. So that is really made it worthwhile for me.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, helped me get through a lot of things as well, and made me want to talk about it a bit more.
Yeah.
Or made me, you know, want to stand up when things aren't really just.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, well said. another thing I got about out of that ABC story is watching your cabaret performances as well. The sparkles, everyone, the fan, you know, like performing.
What's... they've escalated even more.
Oh, yeah, tell us about that. Can you tell us, give us like a bit of a background to those shows and how, because you were filling in, right, and now it's become like a...
Yeah, well, once I did the first one, I got a vision of it escalating, and I've always had, you know, sort of different worlds in my head, as you can maybe hear from the album. And I think sometimes it's important to give yourself or other people an escape or a vision, because the world can be ugly.
Mm.
And and maybe I've always lived in a little bit of a bubble in that way. It could be something to do with chronic pain or something like that. Yeah. But I wanted to create, when, once I did this first cabaret and the only rule was that people had to be at a table, I was like, oh, I can do whatever I want.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I got a vision of like, okay, well, in that case, I'm going to, like, when people come in, I'm going to pick like a Wednesday night. I normally do it on a Wednesday or something. Yeah. When they come in on a Wednesday, they're going to come into my brain. And it's going to be wild.
Yeah.
You know, and so every time I've tried to make it escalate a little bit more and just be slightly weirder, and they have, you know, they have things on their table so they can dress up and have confetti and sometimes we'll end up on the tables. What do you never know? Now they give me a roaming mic. I come out of a clamshell and I made a dress out of Christmas, like two Christmas trees had to die for my last skirt. you know, it's just like, it's just getting more unhinged every time. And, you know, there were drag queens. There's been, there were five costume changes just from that Christmas tree dress alone. And that's not including the other five that happened later in the show. So, you know, it's just getting crazier every time. And and I love it. And it's just, that's one show. And I don't know what's going to happen at the Rock show. But it's but that'll be another world again. And that's just another character, because I think we contain a lot of facets within ourselves. And I think that's expressed in the album.
Definitely.
As a different character, but the cabaret character, she's a mad old showgirl, and I don't know what she's doing.
Well, I think it's really cool to go as like you know, someone in the audience to go to a show like that where you don't know what they're
you're
getting.
It's an escape, and there's people who've come to every single one.
I mean, like, that's a sign, right?
And it's fun, and it's like, you know, I don't know what's going to happen, neither do my band.
Yeah, I like that. So, and it must be fun playing your music at those shows as well when you've incorporated all these different things.
Yeah, well, I could do anything from Patsy Cline to something in Spanish.
Whoa, that's cool.
The mariachi bands show up and a random one and we don't know, or Mossy or Dad or,
you
know,
that's cool.
In anything, we don't know. Hugo Weaving was there once.
Really?
Yeah.
Can you do one in Melbourne?
We've never taken it on tour, but
that's
I'd
what
actually
I was thinking, like
to.
Jules and I watched it together and we're looking at that show. We're like, we want to come and see one of those.
We'd actually, that would be fun, actually. I'd like to come to Melbourne.
Oh, you definitely should. I think there'd be a big audience for it. And I'm thinking, like, the popularity of it, you might need to do some venue upgrades as well, because I can see that on a bigger stage, and no doubt the demand is there.
Yeah, maybe we should come to Melbourne. Glittery and Unhinged in Melbourne.
Yeah, I think so. It makes sense. What's coming up over the next few months for you?
You know, I just am going to keep working on all this. I want to try, going to try and get a cool band together. I want to try and do some shows.
Yeah, cool.
I really want to play this album live. Yeah. I'm dying to
I hear these songs live.
Yeah,
when
we've been jamming on it and we really want to play, so
yeah, cool.
I'm dying to get out there.
That's awesome. Any idea who's in who's going to be in the touring band?
Yeah, I've got a couple friends together.
Yeah, nice.
I ideally would have loved to kidnap Davey Lane, but obviously he's in 65 million bands.
He's the busiest man in rock, I reckon.
The sweetest man and the busiest man.
Yeah. He's played with everyone. He's played with your dad. Your dad, when I had Davey in, was talking that your dad got him a gig with Crowded House.
I helped.
Yeah, and you helped too.
Thank you.
Yeah, sorry. That's
I believe I was actually pretty crucial.
Oh, really? Okay, cool. All right. That's super cool. What was also cool was kind of, I love how you and your family interacted like during lockdown. Like I said, like that actually helped a lot of people through a pretty, like down here in Melbourne, like it got really grisly. Like you couldn't even, you had to stay in your house. You were only allowed out 1 hour a day. You could only go like.
Yeah, we really felt for and that's sort of a lot of why we kept doing the videos was mainly for Victoria, because, you know, we love to sing together anyway, and we really just felt for how much Victoria was stuck inside and you know, everything that was going on down here. So
Yeah. It was tough, and yeah, watching those videos, and when we could finally have your dad down and Chris Chaney, they told a story about a dinner at your house. I want to play back.
generally, Jimmy and I will get stuck into the whiskey after dinner.
Nice, I like that. Yeah,
so and you walk, and the guitar.
And the guitar.
I was going to say.
And then you walk down, you've got like an embankment thing going down to the river. And many mornings I've stood on the edge of that river, sort of just watching the water, hoping that that's going to be therapeutic enough to heal my hangover.
It doesn't help.
It does help, though. And then you walk up the hill and you feel good again.
And what's been some of the more memorable nights growing up at home, whether it be people visiting and coming over for singing and things like that?
Oh, I mean, we have so many lovely people around and just having sweet Davy Lane around playing the Beatles and Golden Slumbers and beautiful Neil, who ended up writing a song for the record.
Yeah.
She's a Thought, which is, you know, I think is the single now. So,
yeah,
you know, having them around ended up what formed all my musical tastes.
Yeah.
And Uncle Mark, I used to make him play one of his songs at my birthday every year.
Which song?
15 Feet of Snow.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
I just think it's so beautiful.
Yeah, it's a lovely song.
It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
And like, so obviously, like, I mean, he's my uncle, but all of these people who I've grown up around are my favorite musicians and human beings.
It's awesome.
So just getting to grow up around these like beautiful hearts who make the most beautiful music.
Yeah, absolutely.
Has just been a blessing.
Yeah, cool.
And then at the same time, like Uncle Mark would play all my favorite, like I loved Jackson 5 when I was like 5 years old.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he'd play, all, like I used to be obsessed with trying to sing like Michael. I'd lock myself in my room.
Cool.
And play the seat. I didn't have a stage parent, you see. They weren't pushy.
Yeah.
And that
yeah.
annoyed me because I didn't know that was toxic.
Yes.
So I would lock myself in my room and I'd play the CD over and over again. If I made a mistake, I'd start the song again.
Yeah.
I never sang the other brother's parts, only Michael.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And so I'd start the song again. If I made two mistakes, the album would start again.
Oh, right. Okay. And so I just thought, constantly on loop.
And I thought if my door was closed, no one could hear me.
But they could.
They could. So eventually Uncle Mark would play the songs on guitar.
Oh, cool.
For me so that I could practice without the other brothers annoying me.
Oh, that's so lovely. Is there any footage of that anywhere? That's so lovely. Oh.
No, but he did like let me practice. So he's known how I sing like since I was so little.
Oh, that's cool.
And what I love, because I also loved the Bodyguard soundtrack and Silverchair.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Yeah, nice. Yeah.
And I'd practice pretty hard on Whitney's parts as well.
Yeah.
And ignored the fact politely that she'd put Kenny G solo in.
Yeah. Just fade it down for that.
Yeah, I was like, oh, fine, you're Whitney.
Hey, Ellie, thank you so much for coming in. It's been an absolute pleasure to meet you.
Me.
We absolutely love the album. Congrats on everything. We can't wait
for
you to bring the show to Melbourne so Jules and I can come and watch some of these performances.
Come along.
And all the best. Congratulations. It really is a special album and we really do
appreciate
you coming in.
I'm glad you like it. Thank you.